So our newest member of our team, Alex Auld, is here with us. He'll be on with Sat at noon, and then, of course, a pre- and post-game show. Alex, welcome to the show, and that's your start, right? You were the Nike goalie in the stands, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Not quite, but I do remember those commercials. They were a lot of fun.
They were funny back in the day.
Yeah, they definitely were, yeah. But thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for the warm welcome. It was nice to see everybody yesterday, except C-Ball didn't come by and say hi, but everyone else did when I made my debut. But
because we're the ones that actually like
big time, big time.
We go way back. We go way back.
Exactly.
No problem at all.
But if it was Peter Skudra, I would have been there, Alex. But you know,
definitely. But it was great. I mean, a lot of obviously a lot of great warm welcomes from everybody with the crew and everyone at Sportsnet and lots of people on social media. So it's a lot of fun to start this new chapter in my life, and I'm really excited about it.
Alex, let's just jump right into this and go right into the dynamic of from a goaltending standpoint. You lived it, you breathed it, you've dealt with this market before, you understand the complexities to it. Here we've got a wide open competition in my mind between Jacob Markstrom and Anders Nilsson. What's the best way to play this thing out here? Where do you try to name yourself a number one? Do you try to come out of camp and say, this is my number one guy? Or is a platoon scenario where John Garrett talked about it yesterday? He said, I think the better case scenario, when I kind of subscribe to this theory, going with, you know what, play the hot hand. Play with who's ever winning right now. If you win, you stay. If you lose, you know what, we'll go to the next guy until someone comes up with a run.
Yeah, I think it's the platoon is probably the way to go. I don't think the team is in a situation where it kind of needs that defined number one guy. Like if you're a team that's, you know, contending for the Stanley Cup, I think the team needs that definition. Both the players and the goalie, everyone needs that go-to guy. I don't think they're at that point, and I don't think either goaltender has really earned that. That's not to say one of them isn't going to, and I think that that's the key, is to give them the opportunity to really just play and develop and earn the ice time. The hard thing about playing the when you're in scenario, I guess, if you want to call it that, is then you always end up overworking a guy, and then they always come out on disappointment, and then it's hard to keep that confidence going. So I think what's important is you get both of them in games early, kind of see where it goes through the preseason and the first couple weeks of the season, and just continue having them develop, and with the off-ice work and then with all the work with Dan Cloutier before and after practice, and just kind of see where it leads. And I think just having an open mind about it is important, because you don't have to manage rest like you do with a starter when you have two guys who can play. So if you think about it, that you want to get everybody in, you know, have a rough number every couple of weeks that you want to make sure that both guys are getting some touches and seeing the ice, then you can kind of ride that hot hand, but it not be so exclusive, I guess, in the point that you have to win to go on, or you have to, you know, pitch a shutout to keep playing, because then the goalie starts worrying about more things than they can control, and they start putting a ton of pressure on themselves to win rather than just going out and working on their preparation.
Is there a guy you see that has the edge right now going in here?
I would probably lean to Markstrom just because he's been here longer and because of the contract status, but I don't think that that's, you know, he's just got the longer deal, the bigger deal. So I think management would probably prefer that, but I don't think they'd be mad if Nilsson came in and started playing lights out and you know, grabbed the crease from him. I think it's a potential possibility. Anders Nilsson's a very good goalie. I think they're both in similar points in their career in that, you know, though they're the same age, they're both Swedish, they're both huge. I think those are the obvious things that jump out at you, but they both have kind of wanted this chance. And I think people forget that when Nilsson was in Edmonton a couple of years ago and he was Cam Talbot's first year, Anders Nilsson played that first month and a half almost like a starter. He was out playing Cam Talbot and playing very well. And, you know, things happened, and Talbot obviously has risen up to be a very good starting goaltender in the NHL. And what I've heard about Nilsson that's really interesting, and I think that little scenario there points to it a bit. He really pushes guys. And then I had the opportunity to work with a number of NHL goalies a couple of weeks ago in Madison, Wisconsin, and Robin Lehner was one of them there. And he was Nilsson's partner from last year in Buffalo. And he mentioned that Nilsson really pushed him to play better because he knew he wanted the crease, and he knew for Robin to keep the crease, he had to up his game. And so that's a great scenario, I think. And you know, Anders Nilsson leaves and Robin Lehner's still friends with him, so it's not like he's in there causing a bunch of issues in the dressing room wanting to play, but he's pushing him. That internal competition is really good, and they've talked about that a lot throughout the lineup, this team, with guys earning ice time, earning spots. And why shouldn't the crease be any different, especially in this scenario with two guys who are both just trying to establish themselves?
We're talking a little Canucks goaltending here with Alex Auld on Sportsnet 650. So talk to me about what that's like from when you're actually in the heat of the battle. Because I think from a management standpoint and a coaching standpoint and a fan standpoint, you love that competition's good. But when you're in it, how do you look at that other guy? Because I'm sure you've been there at some point, whether it was trying out in minor hockey, whether it was junior, or even in the pros, vying for, you want to be the guy. But you also know that the guy next to you is right there with you. So what's that like at a time like this in camp for both Jacob and Anders here, where they're looking at each other, it's like, yeah, we're teammates, but I totally want to kick your butt right now.
Well, I think it helps that they have a history together. They know each other from their younger days back home in Sweden and playing, I believe it was World Juniors together and things like that. So I think there's an established rapport, which is important. I think the other aspect is you can't get too worried about the other person. It's so important that you focus on the things you can control. And really, that's your preparation and how hard you work and, you know, all the other things you do, whether it's your rest and your nutrition, and really focus on the elements that are going to make you be successful. Because when you start, you know, whether it's you're actually, you know, wishing for bad things to happen for the other guy, or just even that slight little moment of satisfaction when the team loses and you know you got the next start, you have to try to push those aside and not let those creep in, because those are kind of infectious, and they're almost, you know, they're cancerous in a way. They come in and they infect you, and then you're feeding off negativity, which I don't think is a way for any athlete to really move forward, especially in a position like goal where it's so confidence based. So you have to have those good feelings all the time. I think you can legitimately be happy for the other guy. You can be you know, want the team to be successful, but know that you're just going to have to play even better. That being said, there's a lot of great goalies, you know, in the history of the NHL who had that really fiery competitiveness, and there was no chance that other guy was taking the net from them. And I think sometimes at a certain point in your career, that has the opportunity to bring out the best in you. And we'll see what happens here. It's I touched on it earlier, the win you're in is really tough. I've been in that scenario. I think for some guys, it works really well. And part of it is your mental makeup. So part of that may be Travis Green and management figuring out, you know, what makes each of these guys tick. Obviously, they know Markstrom a little better. And what scenario is going to help put them in a situation to succeed. Because ideally, it would be great to have both of them playing really well. And then you either have two goalies that you can lean on any night to get you a win or a good chance at a win, or you have an asset you can move and bring something, you know, that you need in other parts of your game.
All right, we're talking to Alex Auld, our new Canuck analyst on Canuck Central at noon with Sat, and also a pre- and post-game Canucks as well here on Sportsnet 650, the new home of the Vancouver Canucks. And Alex, talk about yesterday's practice and how important it was for Travis Green as the new coach of the team to set a tone right from the very first time the player stepped on the ice. And I think the tone he set was, be prepared to work.
Definitely, and that is a really crucial step for a new coach. I've had it in season when I played on a team that has had the coach fired, and that first practice, the coach just sets the tone and makes sure he kind of cracks the whip. And it's important in training camp, whether you're a new coach or not, that you set the tone, because it's really that first impression. Obviously, it's important, but the guys, I mean, it's human nature. You're always looking to see what you can get away with. And then when all of a sudden, you know, when there's missed passes and guys aren't sharp, he stops the drills and he demonstrates the proper way to do it. And, you know, he's not yelling and screaming at the guys, but he's raising his voice and being forceful, because obviously you need everyone to hear you. But you want to make sure that everyone takes it seriously and these details matter, and he's trying to enforce some habits with the guys. And so it's really important that you come out, you establish the ground rules, you set the expectation, you set the tone. And the great thing about that is when the tone gets set from the top right at the start, then it helps your management group be able to manage that on a day-to-day basis in the room. It's really difficult for the veterans, the leaders, the captains to try and hold a young player accountable when the coach doesn't. So right. When the coach is doing it, he sets the tone right from day one. It's really easy for Daniel and Henrik to be like, hey, come on. It's just reminders rather than this crusty old vet over here who's ragging me all the time, right? It's just a reminder that's coming from the coach. This is the expectation. This is the culture. And so it's a big step. And for a new coach, rookie head coach in the NHL, it's important he comes in and you know, proves that he's not someone that you can walk over or anything like that.
Well, it's funny you say that, because at one particular point during the skate yesterday morning for Group One was the fact that they were doing a breakout drill, basically, and it wasn't working. There was a lot of mistakes made, and there was a couple of missed passes. And instead of like stopping and yelling, he blew his whistle. I counted 7 times in a row, but like, and it kept getting shorter as it got to number 7. Just saying, I'm not happy. And then the next time they went out, it was a completely different scenario. So sometimes yelling is not as effective as what he did in that particular moment.
Oh yeah, it's like when your dad's mad at you and he just stares at you, right? Sometimes that's worse yeah. than when you start yelling. So I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's all those things I said. It's, you have set the tone, and the expectation that's set in practice and all those habits, they all add up. I mean, all those little details matter. And I think it's also important that the players realize that when a coach says, we want you to do this, it's not just because he drew it up on the whiteboard and he thinks that makes a nice looking pattern. There's a reason that coaches want something, whether it's your availability on the breakout, like you just said. I mean, those situations, those breakout drills are so important, so that they can be, you know, it's one and done in your zone. You get the puck, you get it out, and you're off to the races. Because when you spend a lot of time in your zone, it's killer for your game overall, because you're obviously getting tired. You can't get on offense, and it leads to goals against, leads to penalties. So those details are so important. So the coach setting the tone is a great thing.
We're talking to Alex Auld here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Alex, the newest member of Canucks Central, which you can catch weekdays from 12 to 1 right here on Sportsnet 650. Alex, one of the real big takeaways for me, and I think there were a lot of stories about it that I've seen floating around online and digital and print over the last 12 hours or so, and that's surrounding Jake Virtanen. And we have talked at length since this station has dropped, since we turned on the mics here 9 days ago, or a week and a half ago, we've had no shortage of discussions when it comes to the former first-round pick for the Vancouver Canucks. And it feels like everything from an optics standpoint is coming up thumbs up right now for Jake, where he's the first one on the ice yesterday. He's down to about 215 pounds, which sounds to be the playing weight that this coaching staff wants him at. You listen to him, it sounds like he's in a good headspace based on some of the conversations members of the media had with him yesterday. How much do you look, from a coaching standpoint, when he's the first guy on the ice, he's a guy who's got a lot to prove. Does that show well? I mean, do you like hearing that and seeing that, or is that all just white noise? Is that all just, you know, lipstick right now?
I think it's a positive sign for sure. I think that, you know, those are the types of habits that are important for young guys. They need to put the work in. So it's not one of those things where like, oh, he's going to make the team because he's first guy on the ice. But I think if those things aren't happening, and they're continually not happening, and they're adding up, and there's a bunch of things, you know, whether it's weight or effort and not putting the extra work in, and then, you know, you'd start checking a lot of boxes and you realize, man, then that's when maybe you don't make the team because of those things. So it's kind of the cumulative factor either way. But for him, I think it's impressive, because I think back over my career and different guys I've either played with or didn't play, you know, you see around the game that, you know, sort of on the peripheral, but high picks that play right away, almost, you know, the way he did, when you play before you have minor league eligibility and don't go back to junior, and then you go to the minors after, it's really difficult for those guys to get their confidence back and somehow not just sort of get swept away in the washes of the minor league system. And so for him to stay positive and stay, you know, engaged and stay ready to go is a testament to him. And I also think it's important that the fans realize that this organization isn't treating, you know, him going down last year as him as a failure as a pick. You know, everyone has their own time and development and their own path and that sort of thing. So it's great to see that he's learning and growing. And I think probably the best thing for him was that he went down, had a year under Travis Green, and now he's coming here and Travis Green's coming here. You know, he's at camp here now today with a coach who knows him and I think understands the progress he made, understands what makes him tick, understands the buttons to press. And I think it's a coach from all accounts that, in listening to Jake speak, he has respect for and likes, and it sounds like he's a guy that he wants to put the work in for. So I think all bodes well for him. I think it's a tough lineup to crack for any young guy. It's going to be a tough lineup to crack for some of these veterans they brought in as well. And I love that. I love seeing that battle. I mean, it makes it a lot more interesting for us for sure. But I think if I put my player hat back on and, and sit down on the bench and watch the game again. It's, you know, I like that. I like that there's guys not in the lineup potentially that could step in and contribute right away, because that depth is really important.
All right, Alex, thank you so much. Good to talk to you as well. And glad you're on the team now. Looking forward to more of these conversations as we go forward. And we'll hear it noon today with Sat. It's going to be a lot of fun back down with the rink. Thanks a lot, Alex. Good to talk to you.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. Okay. Take care.